Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Chitavritti. Today we're going to talk about the vrittis, and I give you a couple of books on the Yoga Sutras that will help you on your path. Today I'm going to talk about the yamas. The yamas are the first limb of Raja Yoga. They are the 5 social codes to live by. I want to emphasize here that the yamas were put first because they are extremely important. Patanjali says that you must master the yamas and the niyamas before you can become one-pointed and have concentration and to have proper meditative absorption, which means that you can't truly go into samadhi without mastering the yamas and the niyamas. When I first started yoga, I overlooked the yamas myself. I was like, you know, yoga is all about meditation and liberation, right? You're supposed to control your mind through meditating. Well, yes, but the yamas and the niyamas are extremely important in eliminating the kleshas that binds us to vrittis. As we recall, the kleshas are the power of the vrittis, the gunas, the play of the gunas causes these kleshas: ignorance, ego, attachment, detachment, and clinging to life. And the kleshas are at the root of what vrittis are made of. And so the yamas are extremely important in eliminating the kleshas that bind us to vrittis and in turn bind us to karma and samskara. In fact, I would venture to say that Christianity focused almost completely on yamas and niyamas as their philosophy to become a better person and get into heaven. Now let's go over what the yamas are. The yamas are nonviolence, truthfulness, refrainment from stealing or non-stealing, celibacy or brahmacharya, and the renunciation of possessions or non-possessiveness. So let's just take them in order here. The first one, nonviolence. The commentators of the Yoga Sutras, the classical commentators, tell us that since nonviolence is put first, it has greater reverence. Things that are ordered first in any list of a sutra is considered the greatest among the list. And in this case, the yamas and the niyamas, all of the other yamas and niyamas, they support the act of nonviolence. So what is nonviolence according to the Yoga Sutras? Well, as you've already guessed probably, nonviolence starts with the ability of not hurting any living soul. And I mean a snake, a spider, a dog, a human, a bug, any living entity. There are even some ascetic groups in India that take this to such an extreme that they even, when they're walking down the sidewalk or walking from one house to another, they will sweep in front of them so that they don't accidentally step on any bugs or any insects or anything. My point is, it is extremely important. It was even Gandhi's main directive in his teachings. So, nonviolence is not hurting a living soul. But it does go deeper than this. And since yogis do not hurt a living soul or practice nonviolence, they also are vegetarians and vegans because meat comes from something that was killed through violence. And there is an argument there that some people make that even plants are living beings, right? They grow from the ground and we cut them and they die. But meat is rotting flesh, and so according to these sutras, rotting flesh is more tamastic than plant life, and the object is to minimize as much domestic intake as possible for your life. So since meat is rotting flesh, once that animal is dead, that flesh, no matter how you cure it, no matter how you put it up, is decaying right from first second. And that decay brings about Thomas, which is what we're trying to limit, and we're trying to mainly be a mind of sattva. No matter what caste, no matter what family, no matter where your status is in society, because in ancient Hindu society, some caste dharma, or what their function in society was such things as a fisherman or a warrior or a butcher. They didn't have to adhere to this. And so Patanjali here is making the statement that it doesn't matter what your caste is, what your dharma in life is, you do not eat meat, and that's that. The sutras also say that nonviolence gets rid of enmity. Basically, how I see this, or how I understand this, if you are a yogi master and you have mastered the yamas and the niyamas, you can look at someone and see their purusha. You will not have preconceived notions of that person, like you know, like we all do when we meet new people or see someone we already know. We already have preconceived notions of that person. We already are saying to ourselves, this, you know, this is this and this. And even if we don't hear it, the subconscious feelings and thoughts are coming up. So if you are a yogi, you can look at someone and see who they really are, the purusha, not what their gunases are doing and what their mind is going through, but what they really are. They're a unit of consciousness, the exact same unit of consciousness as you. And so there is no enmity between something that is exactly like you. The only difference between your purusha and that purusha is that they're individual purushas. Just like the proton of an atom, no matter what kind of atom, what kind of cell you have, a proton's a proton, a neutron's a neutron. In that same vein, a purusha is a purusha, and the Atman is the Atman. It's just a unit of consciousness. We are literally all the exact same. And so you're able to see that and penetrate that, not this other preconceived stuff. The next yama is truthfulness. Truthfulness means that the words that you speak are in fact based on the three ways of right knowledge. That when you speak truthfulness, it is truthfulness derived from the category of right knowledge that we use for assessing a vritti. Truthfulness is also the ability to tell the truth, tell the answer truthfully. And what I mean by that is that you're not speaking to the person with false greed or false ego or false arrogance, or you're not trying to get anything from it. You're just answering a question truthfully. And one thing I didn't touch on nonviolence is nonviolence is also when you speak, not speaking in malice, not speaking, you know, passive aggressively, or speaking in a way that you know what will hurt this person's feelings. Even if you're speaking truthfully to this person, the Yoga Sutras say that nonviolence always will supersede any other of the other yamas. So again, truthfulness is speaking with honesty, speaking with fact based on right knowledge, and it's done without any agenda whatsoever. It's just the truth. And when you're telling the truth, you're also practicing nonviolence by not speaking the truth in a malice way or in a way that will inflict pain on the other person. The next one is refraining from stealing. So refraining from stealing is obviously not taking things that doesn't belong to you. More importantly, and this is what I want to emphasize about non-stealing or refraining from stealing, is that non-stealing refers to not even letting those thoughts come into your head, because all actions, all desires starts as a pratyaya, as a thought, and becomes a vritti. And so if you're practicing non-stealing and you see something you want that somebody else has, well, and you say to yourself, I want it, that desire starts right then. I just wanted to emphasize that refraining from stealing means more than just not taking what's yours. It's not even letting it enter into your mind. I'm actually going to break this up, the yamas, up into two parts, two episodes, because I really want to keep these podcasts, these episodes, short and sweet. I don't want them to be an hour and a half long. I want to be around 15 to 20 minutes long for you guys, so you can get some inspiration for the day and move on. I don't want to take up, you know, hours of your day. I want it to be accessible to everyone in a quick format. So we are going to do the yamas in two parts. So we'll pick up with brahmacharya or celibacy and renunciation of possessions next week. This week, instead of giving you some meditation advice, I'm going to highlight two books for you. The first is Mind Management and Raja Yoga by Swami Nirjanananda. This book not only goes over the eight limbs of yoga, it does a great deep dive on yoga psychology. Another of my favorite books that I'm using a lot here lately is The Yoga Sutras of Patanjali by Edwin F. Bryant. I've already recommended this book once in a previous episode, but if you are looking for the very best version, in my opinion, the very best version of the Yoga Sutras, this is it. I can't recommend it enough. Mr. Bryant lays out all the most important commentaries. So after each sutra, he highlights what the ancient commentators said about each sutra, and then he kind of, there's a smattering of, you know, his own view in there as well, you know, linking them together. But it's a very eloquent book the way he does it, and it's very easy to read. You don't have to be a scholar. So that's it, guys. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and as always, don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and comment wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks a lot.